What up, y'all? Welcome to Life Unfiltered. Heal that shit.
Come on.
Hey, y'all, what's up? Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, where we are taking everything we learned in 2024 and amping it up for this new year, 2025, that we are on the other side of. It is July. Okay, it's July 9th, guys. It's the second half of 2025. And like, what happened? Huh? It's like 2025 was like, hey, I ain't come here to stay long. Okay, I'm swinging through doing damage and then I'm rolling the hell up out of here. Like, it's a lot. But anyway, we are trying to adjust and make plans and strategize and be in that and heal in that. So this is not just a podcast anymore. This is a revolution and healing. And whether you're a longtime listener or you are here for the very first time, get ready for some life-changing conversations.
Yes, indeed, because we've learned something powerful over the past year. When we share our truth, we give others permission to do the same. We've created this safe space for truth seekers, change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, real change happens when we stop hiding and start healing.
Mm-hmm. So whether you are here to work through your own journey or whether you're here to learn from ours or a combination of the both, you are in the right place because we are going to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get results.
With that being said, buckle up, strap in, grab your favorite drink, and let's heal that shit together.
Amen. So... my name is Kim Berland. I am an educational advocate, activist, consultant, visionary, motivational speaker, virtual producer, network executive. I am the founder and visionary of Mind My Black Ass Business, as well as Discover Your Destiny and Intuitive Melanated Life Coaching. I help people deepen their relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I am also a professional frolicker and expat immigrant living in Medellin, Colombia. I am a host and a producer. I'm a tea connoisseur, tea girly. Okay. I'm excited to be here. What up, y'all?
Hey, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, my name is Bianca Goolsby. I am a digital strategist. I am a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch. And very soon, you're going to be calling me Reverend Receipts. Amen. I'm an investigator and a receipt collector, so please put some respect on my name. And I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach and a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. And my feet are currently planted in Lima, Peru. My purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment and doing that fearlessly. Yes, indeed. Okay, cue air horns because we got some things to talk about. Because in this space right here, okay, we honor the three keys, okay? That is accountability, transparency, and integrity. So before we go further, we want to make sure that we're clear about expectations, what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. So what you can expect from us to honor the three keys, we're going to keep it real. We speak in freely and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So giving you this disclaimer now. So if you have little listeners, you might want to have some headphones, some AirPods, maybe not. That's your business. But we're going to speak freely up in here. Okay. And what we can expect from you. Hate speech, hate comments, not over here. We proudly serve in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. Okay. Amen. So engage with intention or get escorted to the Block pew. Mm-hmm. And we want you to go on this journey with us. We are not experts, but we are facilitating these important conversations. And we want you to participate on this journey and bring people with you because together we're committed to doing the work to heal. Now, I heard you got some updates for the folks. So what's tea? What's tea going on around here?
Girl, I'm trying to get the lingo together. That's what I'm trying to get together. So we want to tell y'all how to interact with us in this space. And out here in this virtual world, there are different things that you can do to let us know that you're connected and that you're sending us love and all of that. And one of the ways is using our emojis. So we have a collective emoji here in the Heal That Space universe, if you will. And that is the heart with the bandage wrapped around it. Side note, did we figure out how to get the emojis to show like on the screens and such?
That is an excellent question. So Riverside Support says that currently emojis are not supported and that their technical team is right. And their technical team is investigating it. So what I've decided for post-editing purposes is to just make my own banner and place it when it's here on the screen like this. However, the live portion of it, I now have to think about what is going to be the workaround for that. So is that designing a brand layout with the emojis presented in Canva? And then when I'm ready to switch and talk about it, then I just change the background. Riverside Support has said that they are investigating it, that they're trying to figure this out. And I hope that they do, because these emojis are very important to us and other shows out here that are highlighting ways to connect.
Exactly. So that's why I wanted to ask, because this is the way that we receive love is through you all sharing emojis. And it's just the way, like when we doing IT, clock it, you know, all the things, it's a way for you to make that imprint, you know, in the comments and in the chat. So our collective community emoji is the heart with the bandage wrapped around it that represents the healing that we are doing and inspiring as we are here in this space. We also have individual emojis. So my emoji is the sunflower and the crayon. So sunflowers are yellow. Yellow is my favorite color. It brings me joy, makes me happy. It reminds me of the sun. Sunflowers represent invisible disabilities. And as someone who is neurodivergent and processing all of the letters that I have attached to me and all of the things that exist in my brain space, the stuff that people cannot see, I'm becoming a fierce advocate of invisible disabilities, and the sunflower represents that. The crayon, because there was a time in my life where my life was very black and white. And you know what's so interesting, as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I miss my glasses so much and my yellow glasses, and I pray that soon I'll be able to get them updated, get new lenses, because also my prescription is probably about, I think the last time I was there was 22, so like 3 years old. So I really do need a new prescription, and I need new glasses, because while these clear glasses allow you to see my face, I feel like I'm missing the adornment, and it's because I don't have my other glasses. And as I'm sitting here looking at you, I'm just like, it's the glasses that are popping, and mine are just not popping like I want them to right now. So anyway, to that point, I like to color the fuck out of my life, and I really like to bring those pops of color and that vibrantness. And that's what the crayon represents. So those are my emojis. Tell them yours, please.
Yes, indeed. Well, okay. We have a teddy bear because it's teddy bear season, honey. And it's winter in Peru. So it's definitely teddy bear season.
Definitely.
I have a lot of love to give and a lot of love to receive. And it is so amazing to be loved out loud. And also having this bear energy where it's like, also, I'm cute and cuddly, but don't try it. Don't try me. And so that is my emoji, and I love it. The hands that make the heart. Okay, so just reflecting on the obstacles of having heart failure and having a pacemaker and having to be intentional with how I shift and operate in the world. And on a side note, the things that's happening with politics that impacts insurance and the access to healthcare, like these are all very vital conversations and things that hold weight to me and my heart, literally and figuratively. And so the hands that form the heart is just saying that life is too short. Love is the highest frequency. Give love, receive love, and That's what I'm all about. So those are my two emojis. So if you see me, you know, teddy bear and give me some hearts, man. Give me some love, because life is life and people are people. But you know what? God is still guided. And I thank God for just the many blessings and the abundance that is on the way that's coming. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. So to that point, I think that's it. Oh, I wanted to remind us that we have a website, wehealthatshit.com. On the website, you are able to join our mailing list as well as access past episodes. We are also streaming on YouTube as well as on podcast platforms. So whether you are wanting to see us visually and see like the emojis and the bells and whistles and the things that we're talking about, you can do that. Or if you are wanting to just listen and consume, for instance, while you're in the car, feel free to holler at us on all of those platforms. Heal that shit everywhere. All right. So we ready to jump into our spirit check?
Yes, but I do want to do a church announcement about the podcast. Okay. And just giving a shout out to the individuals that are listening on these different podcast players. Went through the analytics and see that there are so many of you across the world, literally across the world, that is listening to our programming. I want to thank those that have rated us 5 stars. It's easier for the algorithm to find us when the people are searching for healing work. And when they type in the words, heal that shit, we want to be one of the first things to come up, because after the launch of our podcast and after doing the search of the name and getting, you know, what we have, we now see that there's other podcasts out there that have called themselves heal that shit too. Oh, so Lord. With that being stated, we want to make sure that we are front center, that we're prominent, and that you are sharing this information and sharing this content with folks. So, yeah, I'm ready for the spirit check. Who goes first?
Child, I don't want to be in another doggone trademark claim situation. Jesus.
Child.
But anyway. So I was trying to share the link with the people because I did not do that. All right. So here we are for our spirit check. Let me explain how this works. So basically on the screen here, we have some colors that correlate to different ways of feeling. If you are listening and not watching, I'm going to explain what that is. And then we are going to model this by talking about how our spirits feel. So green, I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So your question was who goes first? I think you should go first. How about that?
Okay. Ooh, yes, indeed. All right. All right. Well, I am a very vibrant blue heart currently. I'm good. I don't have any complaints. But inside of this blue heart, at the very center, the core, where all the things are happening, it's green. I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. And there are some light sprinkles of purple sparklies that are there, where there are some things that can be better. But overall, I'm good. And in the center of that, just focusing on just what I can control and where I'm at, life is great. And then, of course, there are some external things that are around and in the mix where things could be better. So that's how I would describe my heart and my spirit using those colors.
I feel like mine is really similar. So very much the heart is blue. I'm good. I don't have any complaints. The core of it is very much green, vibrant green, shining, glowing. Just I feel very much at peace in the core of myself. And then around the border is the purple. Things could be better. And it really is about world circumstances and just trying to process everything that is happening and figuring out what advocacy looks like and, you know, all of that. But yeah, very similar to yours. Yeah.
Yes,
so y'all
indeed.
tell us in the chat and or in the comments where your spirit is resonating today. It's interesting because I recorded the Frolicking Truth earlier. And even Sunday, Kalanda and I were talking on So You Don't Put Syrup on Your Grilled Cheese, just about the different tools and feelings wheels and like all that, like really being able to discuss what you are processing and holding space for all of it is not something that many people are in the habit of doing. So I've been getting a lot of comments lately from people who are grateful for the opportunity to pause and actually ask themselves what that looks like and sounds like. I had done a carousel on Instagram about emotional integrity because, you know, so many of us have been in the practice of just lying to ourselves about how we're feeling and we're saying everything's fine. I always think back to that video that you used to use with the dog sitting in the room and being like, everything's fine and everything is burning around them. Like so many of us get into that habit. So I have gotten a lot of feedback from people just saying that they appreciate having a moment to give them that. It's fine. Everything. Yep. That one. I'm so just impressed that you had it on deck. But of course you do, because that is what life is like right now. That is what is happening. But yeah, I've gotten a lot of feedback from people just being like, thank you for the intentionality in responding to that question, the intentionality in asking the question of how we are doing and asking yourself how you are doing and like actually honoring that. I'm getting a lot of good feedback that people appreciate that and need that and want more of that.
Yes, indeed. And just taking a moment to just honor the folks that are in the inner circle or who is a digital guardian or equalizer in the chat, there is hearts that are here in the comments that are blue and green. And so I just am very grateful that we have created this safe space of being able to honor feelings and to put words into how we feel and just doing those intentional check-ins. Because life continues to move so fast paced. And oftentimes, to your point, it's very difficult at times to just take that moment to be like, and how are you? And how are you really? And not just being like, I'm okay, I'm good. But yeah, to this graphic and to this meme about like everything is fine and everything is okay, like this is a graphic that I've shared and highlighted because it's not okay. This is the things that are happening is not okay. And we need to be able to normalize and have those discussions and conversations because it is vital in order for us to heal and do what we need to do. So,
Need that graphic to pull over into my spaces because I literally just had that conversation with my people the other day and I was like, hey, everything is not fine. Okay. I need us to like not pretend like everything is not. Do not keep sitting here telling yourself that everything is fine. Don't normalize this shit. Like, shit's wild right now, you know? So, yeah, I think I need that because I talk about it all the time. You know, I'm just like, we're just gaslighting ourselves just all day. It's wild. So let's then get into our updates, transparency moments, what have you. I don't remember. Did you go first last time or me? I don't recall.
Well, since you started with having me to do the spirit check first, then you should do the transparency moment first now.
Is that what the trend is going to be?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And we rotate. And okay. And so we have a note now because okay. Other ways that, you know, we won't go there. But because where's the bell?
That's why your ass can't find it. For reason. That's the petty bell, guys. That's the petty bell. I can't wait till we get to yours so you can tell them about Reverend Receives because
yes, that's
going to be phenomenal. While I'm over on the running show looking where, like, I wrote notes down. I ain't wrote not a note on here. Girl, what did you scrolling for, sis? Go in your brain. So, transparency moment. How is life for me? I am very much, I've been saying that I'm in this process, this cycle of reparation as far as repairing, preparation, and restoration. And like being in a active process of realizing, okay, there are things that need active repair. There are things that I need to do to restore myself. And there are things I need to do to prepare for this next cycle. So Discover Your Destiny starts August 10th. And I'm also going to have, I'm certifying my intern through IMLC. So that's going to be happening. But then I'm also going to be doing Discover Your Destiny at the same time. And I've really just been thinking about the how I want those things to weave together and how I want these universes to exist. I've been getting a lot of confirmation as well as ideas about assembling the Avengers, if you will. Like, I don't really know how else to describe it. And, you know, I've been on this for quite a while of activating people. It's like, I feel like it's time where you get the call and it's like, get your suit out, the dust it off, blow it up. For example, Reverend Receipts is coming back, morning tea and allegation. You know what I mean? Like, it's time, dust that off. It's time to get back out here. We've been down for a little while. Okay. You was doing life and all that great. And also strap in. It's time. So I feel like I am preparing to organize those calls and preparing for whoever is going to respond to that, because there are very real situations that are happening and very real needs, but we are also very well equipped to support people, and people are looking and they are actively trying to figure out what their role is and what that looks like and sounds like. So, you know, I'm being intentional about doing my part and making sure that I am equipping the people, you know, and starting with Discover Your Destiny is the space where you start understanding, oh, this is who I am and this is what this looks like and this is how this manifests for me. And this is these are the people that I'm called to and these are the things I'm naturally inclined to do. And, you know, you like really start understanding that, because the time, as I mentioned earlier, is passing quickly. It's going to start passing even more quickly than that, because the things that are happening are escalating and that's not about to slow down. It's just shit is going to be happening just left and right, tossing folks to and fro. Okay. So my job in all of this is to bring us back to that grounded space of understanding who we are and what our purpose is and what we're supposed to be doing. So I've really been receiving that and like hearing from God what that looks like and who those people are and where they are coming from. And, you know, I don't work with everybody. You know, I'd also want to say that I'm very intentional about the people that I work with. So the people that have been getting sent to me are people that I know align and people that get it and people that are invested in what I'm trying to build. So it's been exciting and it's been cool to see God do what God does, because I really was like, you know, I'd be having to have side conversations like, hey, my boy, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Because I am doing everything I can to be as obedient and in place and doing the things that I write. I'm out here walking and taking steps without seeing the next stair on the staircase and like all of that. And also, sir, hey, what's going on? So in this time in July, I thought that I was really gonna like be desperate of like, I don't know what else to do, because I also am having to be really, really careful about protecting the ways that I earn income because the block is hot and I am very Googleable. So I have to be really strategic in the ways that I show up in front of cameras, if you will. You picking up what I'm putting down. So, you know, I was just like, God, I need you to do something with this. And probably within the past week, God has been like, let me send her the emails so that she can rest her nerves right quick. Like, let me send you the emails so that you can see, all right, I got this. Because I thought July was going to be really tough, and it's turning out to be very productive, and it's also giving me an opportunity to understand what's happening right now on the ground with educators and be privy to some of the conversations that they're having, because I know what I see and what I anticipate because I already lived through it. So being in a position to be able to support teachers in that, as well as new teachers in how they can show up with the same practices, though they might not be calling it what is being demonized right now, but still showing up in the best way for children and also honoring their mental health. Like, I was meeting with a teacher the other day, and they were like, I asked them what they wanted to focus on for the new year. And they were like, I really want to make sure that work-life balance and mental health is a big part of what we talk about. And I was like, come on, teacher wellness. Like, yeah, because the block is hot. Like, shit's wild. Like, I could not imagine being in the classroom right now. When I tell you, I know I wouldn't have made it. I would have, girl, no. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not following that. I'm not honoring that. No. So I empathize with them deeply, but I don't know what it is like firsthand to be in those conditions right now. You know, I got out before shit got super, super wild, you know, and so that's been interesting, but I'm grateful to have at least that touch point to be able to have a pulse of understanding what's happening and how this is impacting real people, because I don't ever want to be so disconnected that I don't understand what people are experiencing. Like, I want to continue to have those stories and those lived experiences to understand how policies are affecting teachers and are affecting children, you know? So I've also been doing that, and gratefully because of that, I have the opportunity to earn income doing what I am gifted to do. You know, I had a coaching session the other day, and we got off, and I was like, I did my big one with that. Like, that I did. Girl, you did that. And these sessions are only 30 minutes. So it's literally like, hey, how you doing? You good? Great. Today we talking about this. And like, to be able to make an impact in that short amount of time is just so powerful. But when we got off, the teacher was like, I'm going to write down a few of the things that you said today, because that was really good. And I needed that, you know, so it's cool to see myself show up in my gift and be able to still continue to impact children and teachers and families and communities and all of that, and do that in multiple ways, you know, because the next thing and the next project I've been saying for a while is this homeschool curriculum, because we're going to have to take our children out of these people's schools. And I hope that we know that and understand that it has to happen. Otherwise, they are going to be encountering harm. So, but they also have to have a framework to be able to work within to support kids, because we're going to need to be making homeschool pods and like all types of things for our children right shortly here in just a minute, you know? So I've been thinking about those things and what that looks like and sounds like and what my role is in that and how I can leverage the connections that I have and my connection to young people and the ways that they think to be able to help further this movement. So yeah, you know, just a little stuff, you know, not anything big.
Yes, indeed. Well, I just claps here because, all right, I see the glow and you seem to be at least at peace, it looks like, just like visually looking at you. I'm wondering, and all the things that you shared, how do you feel about the second half and how is shaping up based on the things that have happened recently?
You know, my year started off wild as fuck, bro. Me falling flat on my damn face and busting my chin wide open. Like, that is how my year literally started, you know? I think this portion of the year feels much calmer, much more peaceful, much more stable. And it feels like I am able to be creative and think and plan and strategize and like do what I'm supposed to be doing. It feels like I am more easily able to do what I'm supposed to be doing and more well positioned to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And a lot of that does have to do with the living environment and having access to nature and, you know, just being unplugged. And I was talking this morning on the Frolicking Truth about my morning routine and the journey like that God took me on this morning when I was meditating. And like, it is really, it's become something that I look forward to and it's something that is necessary for me. So I feel like in this part, that's why I said earlier in the pre-show when I was talking about ordering the stuff from Amazon so that I am able to have my morning routine that allows me to be able to set the stage to hear from God and do what God is telling me to do. It feels more grounded and more connected. And that is what I need to be able to show up in the ways that I'm supposed to show up. I don't do well with chaos. I don't. I need predictability. I need structure. I need things to be organized. I need to know how I am allocating my energy. I have to know those things to be able to show up as my best self. So I have to restore some of the routines and procedures that had the light version because, you know, of not having enough money or not having access or shit just wow out here, you know? So I really have to get back to that space of having things the way that I need to have them so that I'm able to show up as my best self. Because without that, I am constantly showing up in an altered and frazzled-ish state, whether you see it on the outside or not. I had said this morning, I really was able to name that I have peace in my spirit. And that has been a fight to get here, you know, through all just over the past years, you know, it's really been a process to get here. So I'm grateful to have to be able to say that I feel peaceful in my spirit and that I feel like I'm operating in the ways that I'm supposed to, especially because I'm about to go into Discover Your Destiny. And it's important for me to be grounded during that time because I'm also holding space for other people's stuff. So I have to have myself in a space where I can process and release and repair and restore and prepare and do that so seamlessly so that I can equip and empower other people to be able to learn how to do this for themselves. So I feel like I pray that the back half of this year is really going to usher me into that. I also see a lot of eyeballs and ear balls that's showing up and I don't mean that negatively, that people are starting to pay attention. And I think some of that has to do with consistency, right? And understanding how algorithms work, you know, consistently committing to the frolicking truth, having watch parties, like telling people, it's like people are finally ready to listen. So I want to be able to capitalize on that, but also finding my people, because I'm not talking to everybody. And that is okay. But I am talking to a certain group of people. So putting out the content so that the algorithm is able to give my stuff to the people that are looking for my stuff, because there are people that are looking. And I know that they are, because when they find me, they say things like, oh, my God, I'm so glad that I was able to get here. You know, like, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you shared that. I needed that. This is confirmation. So, I think that's how I am supposed to focus for the rest of the year. You know, if you build it, they will come type vibes. So that's what I'm on for the rest of this year.
Come on. I'm here for that. Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, I think this is a great time to go ahead and insert an ad for Discover Your Destiny. So let's check out the ad for Discover Your Destiny.
What if the thing you've always called too much was the exact thing God designed on purpose? This is for the ones who've always known they were different. Too sensitive, too loud, too knowing, too intuitive, too woo-woo. But what if your sensitivity is actually your superpower? What if your intuition was your inheritance? Discover Your Destiny is a 10-week sacred journey back to yourself. We explore the design of your soul, your spiritual gifts, and the unique way that God speaks to you. This isn't church. It's not a rule book. It's not a performance. It's the moment you stop chasing approval and start walking in divine alignment. You'll gain clarity, language, and confidence around who you are and what you are here on the earth to do. You'll learn the real voice of God. And if you feel called to go on to become a certified intuitive melanated life coach, this is where that path begins. There are two ways to enter this sacred container: the Destiny Track, full investments and coaching experience, or the Divine Exchange Track, where internship meets soul work. You'll support podcasting, content creation, or brand development behind the scenes while learning how your unique gifts benefit the collective. Your knowing isn't a flaw. It's the fingerprint of God. This is your invitation, and I hope that you'll answer. But yes, even indeed. Speaking to that, that was something I've been needing to do for a long time. And I think there are going to be different iterations of the commercial or whatever. But that felt really good to name it and say, because I know that Discover Your Destiny changes people's lives. I've seen it. It's changed my own life, but I've seen it so many times. So to be able to package it in a way that people will hopefully be able to receive and just really understand, again, it's not for everybody, but who it's for, it's powerful, you know? So yeah, I'm proud of myself that I got that done too.
Come on. Como, and you did a really good job with creating it and adding the effects to it. And I think people would actually want you to do that for them.
Girl, now that is not my ministry. Relax.
So we're going to do a poll here. Insert poll of, should Kimberlyn produce commercials for other individuals that just need a quick 30 second to a minute commercial to highlight their giftings? Clap it up. We gonna clap it up. Mm-hmm.
So. No, I was proud. I definitely, I enjoy doing stuff like that, but I think I also sometimes get so deep into it that it feels like I'm almost stuck. It's like, okay, girl, come on. We got to move on. Relax now. You done been on this same little millisecond right here. You know, it's like that was a quick this, you know, and the thing that's like, ah, I gotta fix it, you know. So then I just become a lot with that. But I was inspired actually because I was watching, you know, I love Kev on stage and his universe, and a lot of the things that I do are really centered in how he shows up with his friends and for his friends and the way that they create together and allow their brilliance to just shine in so many different ways, and they use each other's platforms, and it just makes all the sense in the world. But they had done a Sinners parody. Have you seen the video?
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it? Oh my gosh, I want to pull it up so we can watch it. It's so good. You've seen Sinners, the movie though, right?
Yes, I've seen the movie, but I haven't seen the parody.
So they are about to go, they being Tony and Kevin, are about to go on tour and for the Ball Brothers. So I don't know if you remember during, do you remember when he was doing Keep Your Distance during COVID? Yes. So during that time, he was doing a whole lot of promos. So he had done like Busta Rhymes and Janet Jackson, and it was a Cisco and BB and CC Winans, and like it was so many different ones that he did. So they used that as their inspiration to do this one. So this is based on Sinners, and it you'll see who's all in it. So hold on, let me. Okay.
Where the hell you been, nigga? I was shooting some content for the Ball Brothers podcast, and I had to take a dookie as well since y'all have been my business. I don't care. What the hell happened to you?
We was in here planning a tour.
Oh, you was planning a tour with a vest on and no shirt. That's wild work.
It's hot, man. I'm 270. Where the hell you been?
Hey, I'm sorry to hear about the heat and your weight, man. Let me get on in there and help.
Mm-mm, now, hold on.
Now, what the hell going on now, man? Let me in.
Uh-uh. You bald enough, tall enough, strong enough, walking through the community to push on right past him. Why he need to do that?
Oh, that just wouldn't be polite now, would it, Miss Angel? I don't know why I'm talking to you anyway, man. It's your food to have me out there doodling in the wilderness, using that stale ass grease.
Now, you know I ain't never used stale grease in my entire life. Plus, I fix you vegan options. Brisket, hummus, falafel.
Now, shut your ass up, Angel. Man, can't miss him.
Now, you ain't talking to him. You talking to me. Yeah. Yeah, why come you can't push your big, bald ass up in here? Oh, you gonna have to admit it.
Admit what?
Admit that you ain't got no set for this tour. You ain't wrote no jokes. You plan on improvising, pulling up audience members, different ones every show, improvising with your yes-ending-ass self.
Kev, you hear this? Now, this man was so kind to pick me out of a sea of comedians he could have took on the road with him. Now we gonna be out there together, city to city, making people laugh, man. But you out here shucking and jiving and playing and holding up the door security like we at Walmart or some nonsense, man, instead of focusing on what we supposed to be doing.
What the hell it is we supposed to be doing, carrots and broccoli eating ass, Nick?
Being kind to one another, right? Making people laugh, bringing joy to the masses. Taking loads off, if you will, comedically. Now, we can't just be going to cities running around uninvited now, can we? Now, invite me on up in here, man.
You've been in and out of here all day. And you don't invite then. There ain't no podcast equipment outside. All that stuff's in here. Nah, something just ain't adding up.
Where up my money, man?
Oh, you done did such a bang-up job in the past. Now you wouldn't get paid for a tour your big burger-eating ass ain't even been on yet, huh?
Man, shut your drunk ass up.
No. You shut the fuck up.
Your piss smell like bourbon. All right, just give me the tour dates. And the move.
Careful. It just might sell out.
So,
yes, it did.
They did the behind the scenes with their Patreon, right? So I was in the Patreon. So Tony, Angel, Marcus, Josh did the editing. And he was directing and doing the camera work. They had, you know, it was a whole production. Like, they had the cameras, they had the makeup crew, the hair, like all of that. So they recorded it, and while they were recording it, they had the behind the scenes on. And it just made me, anytime Kev does things, it inspires me, but it's just so nice to see all of the talents that go into creating something like this. So they were talking on the podcast on Here's the Thing, and Josh was saying how he had found the sound to put at the beginning so that it would set the tone for how Tony was walking in. And then because Tony and Angel and Kev and Marcus clearly are actors, so they, you know, doing the things, Kev and Angel wrote it right before they wrote the dialogue, and they had, you know, the scene, the black box, and they flip in the world. And like, you get to see all of the things that go into productions. And it just inspires me so much, because there is so much that goes on behind the scenes. It is not just turning on a camera and then now all of a sudden everything, you know, goes how it's supposed to go. Like, there's the run of show that has to be created, and then you have to schedule it, and then on the calendar, and then you gotta, you know, have, there's an art to even being able to carry a conversation and continue on in that conversation where it doesn't feel so laborious, and to keep that going and to be funny, but also serious. Like, all of this is an art, and people don't necessarily realize that. And they think, you know, I just bought a podcast mic and I turned it on and now here I am. So it just makes me so inspired, because we've talked about these different universes and having our universes intersect and using each other's platforms to be able to support each other. So I feel like there's a lot that's aligning right now. And now is really the time for people to be stepping in their zone so that you can really show up. The other thing is, the last thing I'm going to say, and I want to hear the things. So that I've been, you know, I love Mel Goolsbee. Did you ever reach out to them people and see if you related to them?
No, I didn't.
So I did. Mel, that's how I get my information about pop culture and lawsuits and like all that kind of stuff. It's from Mel, because she is very much a reliable source, factual, you know, thinking critically about different things and breaking down the process. Well, she did a live after Diddy's, after the verdict, and she had on three attorneys with her. It was so eye-opening to hear them talk about like the sentencing processes and the spreadsheet that they use, and how the judge might be able to use their power as judge and sentencing versus what happened with the jury selection. Like, Mel is giving people so much insight into the behind the scenes of the legal system, and it's stuff that we just don't know and never knew, or didn't, I don't recall learning none of this stuff in school. So it's just become so curious to me, and it always makes me think about you. And I'm so excited that you are coming back to your morning show and like all of that, because you was in your bag. Like, you was in your bag with that, and breaking down those things and having the different characters and the different themes and you know, the church, and you was producing records, and like, girl, you was in your bag. In your bag. I remember being on the phone with you where you were like, I'm finna drop this new hit tomorrow. I'm over here making a music video. What is happening? But people was tuning in for that shit.
The video was fire.
It was. So you and she had used, for anybody who doesn't have context, when I'm telling y'all, Bianca used to be a mess on these people's internet. Bianca went and took the sound from the school board meeting and put the sound on this music video with people holding stacks of cash, spinning around, and then she was doing remixes. So like, then it'd be like, and then it's like, you were about to lose your job. Get this dance. Like, this girl was wild on these people's internet. And also, you was in your bag. So I am very curious about where we at, and I need the updates on the things.
My God is a good guy.
Not the way you pulled that mic up just now.
Good God. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Let me tell you something. We got the whole structure of this whole thing. We started out with praise and worship on the Morning Tea allegations. We're going to have a hymn.
Not
and it's
going to
be whatever. Oh, girl, yes, indeed. We had the lyrics on the screen and all for people to sing along, okay? And it's going to be...
Wait a minute. Not a hymn with the follow the leader video.
And then next is going to be the segment, the Holy Ghost clapback. In fact, I'm going to give you an example of one of the Holy Ghost clapbacks that I got, okay?
Let's go ahead and
pull it up here, okay?
Okay.
All right, so... the verse comes from Job 8:7.
Okay.
Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly. You threw dirt on my name and didn't know that I was planted. Ha! Because I didn't just grow. I flourished. Ha! And I thank you, Lord. Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Yes, indeed. So,
you remember your spiritual gifts came back as pastor and you was like, not me. You remember that?
I do, but that was church trauma. This is why we redefine the church. So I got to figure out what the name of this church going to be, because I would tell people in Morning Teen Allegations, y'all can go back and see it. Like, just type it on Google, Morning Teen Allegations, and then a whole bunch of stuff will pop up. Okay, so I would tell people, come on in the rooms of the church. I would tell the ushers to lock the doors before Marvin Sapp told the people to lock the doors.
You did. Used to be calling people to the front, baby. You sure did.
We called them to the front of the congregation.
And then was like, lock them doors.
Leaders lead in time, talent, and treasure. I was taught a long time ago that it costs to sit up here. There's 1,000 of you. I said, close them doors. Ushers, close the doors. Close the doors. Close the doors. We all going to lead together.
So, I've been exploring different tech tools, girl. And Ecamm seems like it's going to be a banger. It is going to be a banger. So, Ecamm has it to where I can even set up a virtual cam. So, the effects that I'm building in Ecamm, I could actually apply it to Riverside 2. And I'm really excited because I've been testing new things and like learning the things and watching YouTube videos. And so that I can like perfect this with Ecamm, I'm able to use my Stream Deck so I can literally have my sound effects on the Stream Deck and not trying to worry about the media side or Riverside. Girl, I'm over here literally working and figuring out these tech tools and systems and documenting the process that I'm like recording as I'm doing some of this stuff, so that ultimately the goal is to upload this content and to provide like the behind the scenes of how all of this is going. But I've been very quiet about it. I haven't really shared this with anyone on my Patreon or just even talking to you. This is the first time that I'm like having a really in-depth conversation about all this different stuff. But when I tell you, the whole production of these shows, there's a whole nother tier of quality that I'm striving for and that I want to where I can be consistent with it, that I can have fun with it, and then rinse and repeat and do that for others. So I'm really, really, really excited. So I don't have a date yet for Morning Tea and Allegations, but it's going to happen before next school year. And I want it to be like how the administrators and the staff at Rozac was having my broadcast on their phone on the side, and not even just the folks in Hillsborough County Public Schools, because we talking about the Florida legislators. So I'm talking about the folks in Tallahassee. I'm talking about statewide issues and even nationwide issues, all the way to Washington, D.C. and some of those lawmakers there. So I am really opening the door of just talking about different things that impact the three pillars that I said I wanted to focus on: education, policy, and legal. So that's it. That's my lane. I'm going to stick to that. And of course, you know, have my petty antics that are included in that. And so maybe, you know, I'll dress up as a deaconess and have a wig on and all that. Like, even just with me providing digital advocacy information and news, and I want to be able to include Uni, the unicorn, and some of these things. And on my goal list for the end of the year, to have a book that's published by Uni, the unicorn, that is providing information about social media safety and protecting children online. I'm really stepping into it, right? Like I said, once I got my locks tight, you know, you weren't able to tell me nothing. Got my purple hair back. We full throttle. And now that I am becoming more secure with these different tech tools, oh yeah, StreamYard, I was able to download much as I could on there to be able to be like, okay. And Riverside, I got the system for free. They returned my money to me, and I thank God for that. And now the money that I was paying can go to Ecamm after the trial ends. And girl, just want to shout.
I love it.
Just want to shout. So I'm really, really excited to be able to just use my voice more. The Power Walk podcast that I have, I'm like so surprised at the different downloads that I have just on the podcast version. And I'm like,
now where does this, I hear you saying it's on podcast platforms. I believe it's on Facebook. Where else can people hear the Power Podcast, Power Walk podcast?
They can hear the Power Walk podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And if they want to watch it, the only place you could watch it is on Facebook. But it is on pretty much every place that you can listen to podcasts. That's where the Power Walk podcast is.
Gotcha. I was going to ask you something else. You have mentioned social media, and I'm curious. I'm curious about policy things, I guess, right now that are happening and how stuff is landing on you. I did see that there was something passed in Florida regarding social media safety, but I didn't delve into it. I also know that there is a lot that's happening in education right now. So I'm curious if you've been down any of those rabbit holes and what that's looking like and how it's impacting your work.
Absolutely. Yep. So there's a lot of different legislation that was passed previously and that was just passed last legislative session that parents and caregivers and community members need to know, particularly if you're in the state of Florida. One of the bills that come to mind is House Bill 1105. This is a bill that basically says that children that are in elementary school and middle school are prohibited from using their cell phone devices in school. Yeah. They're able to bring their device. However, it is prohibited for them to use their device unless for educational purposes. On the Power Walk, I actually talked about this very thing yesterday on yesterday's episode. And I was giving a high level overview of this particular law and what parents and caregivers need to be aware of. But also to note that when we're saying that children are using the phones for educational purposes, also want people to have very clear expectations on what's going to end up happening. When you have an underfunded school system where students do not have access to technology, therefore they are using their phone, it does blur the lines of how phones are being used and have been for years now. So while I understand and appreciate the gesture of this particular policy, if we do not have the adequate technology that makes it to where children don't need their own devices to begin with, then again, I'm going back to policy, performative, effectiveness, efficiency. There are a lot of different variables here that we need to unpack. But going to that particular law in question, there are a lot of questions as it relates to the enforcement of that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if there was going to be any penalties that were going to happen if children were in violation of that. And there are several question marks as it relates to that, because some of it is silent and it doesn't address it. So guess what? Now we're opening the door for possible litigation, like House Bill 3 that passed last session that said that children under the age of 14 should not have social media mm-hmm. in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. which this particular law that's in place is currently under active litigation still from last session, because the bill is very broad and there are arguments that it violates First Amendment rights. So we have policy out there that all intent is to protect our children online. At least I hope that that is the intention of it. But when you have policy that does not really address the root issue, and when you have policy that does not really give clear enforcement, then it's just performative politics at this point, because there's clearly children that are under the age of 14 that are on social media platforms. I was just on TikTok and just saw an 8-year-old girl that was on TikTok just having her own account, posting videos and whatnot. She's in the state of Florida. But then the children that are going to be coming this school year, they're going to have their cell phone. And we're still going to have the same problems with cyberbullying. We're still going to have the same problems with children using their phones, sending inappropriate content to each other via AirDrop and everything else. And we're still going to have the same problems where folks are codependent on their devices. And because we don't have a proper technology ratio in our schools due to schools being underfunded, what are we really doing here? Mm-hmm. So that's a high level overview.
Yeah, I know. I ran across a video, or maybe it was a post. I don't know. You know, we was deep in our bag around this time of year, some years ago. But I'm very curious about people's level of interaction with education and the education system. The video that I ran across, I was talking about that schools were made to indoctrinate and not to educate, and that we really need to understand that, that we need to understand that and stop thinking that schools are having kids' best interest at heart. That's not what schools do. And you know, being intentional and asking questions and being involved and like all that, because as I mentioned a little bit ago, very soon it's not going to be safe for our children to be in school. So I'm very curious, especially when I saw the thing about the phones, because I don't really agree with it. Like I think it is, I get in theory that phones are a lot of issues come from kids having phones, but also it's an inescapable reality, as you just mentioned, for several reasons. So the time, energy, and effort seems like it needs to be placed into supporting responsible usage of the phone as opposed to limiting access to the phone. Because what happens, especially when you tell somebody that they can't do something, and especially for the kids that's already been in school, and now you tell them they can't use their phone, they finna do it that much more. And when they do that, now we're fighting about phones when we could be and should be learning. So now we're taking phones. Now parents are coming up to the school about the phone. You can't have the phone back until the parent comes, but the child needs the phone because the mama at work and that's the only way they communicate with them. This is their only access to the internet. They can't do their homework without the phone. Like, it's just so much that goes into that it, like you said, on the surface is like, oh, we doing something. But there are so many layered implications that come with that. And then the level of school shootings and things that happen in schools, these kids need to have their phones so they can call for help, because you never know when that's going to be able to happen, when something might happen. I remember working at a school and the cell signal was restricted and you couldn't get a signal in certain areas of the school. Like, you could only get a signal in the front office and if you were outside or something, but just like in the hallways of the school. And it was an outdoor school, but in the hallways, you could not get a signal. And I remember there being times where we needed to get in touch with a teacher. We needed to find somebody, like we needed to do. And you can't use your phone. Like, there is no way to be, the phone don't work. That feels dangerous, especially in the United States of America. So it's just so many layered implications that come with it. And again, to your point of not addressing the root is, how do we use these devices in a responsible manner? How do we teach students about and children about their digital footprint and the types of things that they share on the internet and the types of people that have access to them? And how do we promote that? Not, let me just take this away from you. Because it's not like at 14, when they're now able to use social media, or when they get out of school, that all of a sudden now they're going to know what to do if you never taught them what to do. Like, we still got the same issue. Just because they can't further the stuff happening during the school day don't mean it's going to stop happening. It's still going to happen because we are in a digital age and kids communicate through technology. That is the world that they live in. Nobody's going to anybody's house and outside and all. That's not the world that we're living in. So it creates so many layered situations. And so, yeah, I've just been really curious about what that looks like and sounds like. You know, I was just wondering how that is driving, because I heard you say that you want uni to write a book. And I know that you do your digital guardianship and your social media courses and stuff. Where are you with that?
So, great question. So I've been working on focusing on the restructuring of Teaching for the Culture, and Check the Cell Phone is one of the programs within Teaching for the Culture. So just kind of like focusing on the higher priority tasks. I did make some updates to checkthecellphone.com. Y'all can go see it and check it out. There's a couple of lessons and previous cyber task force meetings that you can go watch and be a part of. But I really want to reimagine what Check the Cell Phone can look like, but just my priority has been with the trademark dispute, focusing on Teaching for the Culture and making sure that that's sustainable. So any other programs or ventures that would be a part of it, right, that it could be sustainable and efficient.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, yeah, I just know it's about that time, you know. So I know in all due time, but yeah, I think it's just so necessary right now. It's a lot that's happening, and we have to critically think and address root causes. Like, now is not the time to be having reactionary types of responses. It's not helping anything. So, you know, instead of taking something away, how about we talk about responsible use? How about we talk about that and talk about the real impact that it has? You watched Forever?
I have not.
You got to watch Forever. It's really good. And the way that they include the social media part of it, because there is a social media situation that is driving a lot of the storyline. And it's really interesting. And I believe if I was still in the classroom, I would use Forever with my students. and probably not like my sixth or seventh graders, but definitely my eighth graders. And if I was teaching high school, for damn sure, would absolutely have them watch it, because there were so many themes, and it's particularly around social media and use of social media and all of that, that I think is really needs, people need to be talking about it. We need to be discussing it, because my fear is that those of us who are older are trying to be like, well, get off the phone and you need to go back outside. And blah, blah. That is not the world these children are living in. Let that shit go. It's gone. It's gone. Okay, that is not how they interact with each other. They are streaming. They are, that is the world that they live in. So trying to take kids out of the context of the current world is just not helpful. And you sound dumb. You sound dumb and you sound old and out of touch, you know? So I really feel like we need to be trying to learn how they are utilizing these platforms and these technologies so that we can have the intentional, proactive conversations instead of just being like, if I take it away, that'll fix it. Because I was talking to one of my line sisters the other day, and she was saying how she has a 20-year-old or 19 or 20-year-old, and then she has a 13, 14-year-old. So one is going to high school and one is in college. And she was saying how her daughter, who is older, was not able to have social media until she was, I want to say, maybe 16. And she was talking with her daughter about the impact that that had on her socially. And her daughter was saying she just felt very much not included at all. Like, people were having conversations and full lives are taking place. She had no idea what anybody was talking about. So she just felt very alone and out of touch. So the conversation that they were having was, how were they going to handle social media with the son, who is now about to go into high school? Because is this a fight that we want to fight, or do we just teach him how to make responsible decisions out here in the social world? And I was so grateful that she was having that conversation and addressing it from that standpoint, because many times we just think eliminate it and that's going to fix it, and that's not fixing it. Or you saying that you're going to delay it, like the not giving the kids social media. They have social media. They just don't have access to it when they at the house or whatever, because you're checking their phone. But they have a spam page on somebody's phone somewhere at the school. Okay, so it is not bright for us to be being acting like, because you can't see it, that it doesn't exist. Like, they want, especially in middle and high school, their life is social. That is the driving force for their life, of figuring out who they are and how they exist in these social spaces. So we're not helping them when we don't teach them how to navigate in those spaces responsibly. All you're doing is stunting their growth and making them lie and hide stuff because you don't get it. Because you being so in the past and talking about a world that doesn't even exist anymore. So we really have to like lean in and listen and understand so that we can equip them to be able to show up in that world in a responsible way. You know, off my soapbox, I'm just saying.
Yes, indeed. A couple things that came to mind as you were talking about streaming and social media and just the world that we're shifting to. So I will often say that when we're giving a child a device, that ultimately we need to provide education when we provide a child said device, and making sure that said device has limitations. But that's a learning curve, because you need to be able to know how to do that. And so I want to work to bridge the gap, because it's not just happening to our children, but it's happening to our elderly adults. I had shared with you that my Nana, she had got connected with someone trying to call support and ended up getting money taken out of her account. Thank God that she was able to get the money back. But that doesn't happen in all cases. Sometimes it's just a loss, and being mindful of who has access to what, how does technology work, and bridging the gap. And I want to be able to serve in that purpose of bridging the gap with the elderly and our children, because it's so important. Yesterday on the Power Walk, I was sharing about these group of streamers that make a significant amount of money, so much so that on the 4th of July, they decided that they were going to put fireworks all throughout the house. And
Is this Kai and them or is this another group?
It's Kai and them. But this particular group, they're called the Clover Boys. But okay. AMP, which is Kai's group, they had this back and forth of trash in each other's house where they actually broke into the house, took sledgehammers to computers, and it was a lot. I just want to
So they
show
like
this.
Rivals, AMP and Clover?
The way that they have positioned it for their beef, yes. But they all stream, they all interact with each other, and a lot
but
of
the
them
the storyline is that they happen to be.
So I just want you to see this video because I just need you to see the devastation that has happened to this house, how the neighbors are upset about this
particular
situation.
And that's what
I'd
be wondering is these houses that they're in, they're renting these houses oftentimes and just trashing the houses so badly. Now, I definitely sound like somebody's auntie right about now, because why is we tearing the house up?
Let's cue the clip.
And can't find nothing else to do with yourself.
Our crib. Word of my mother. Watch. Niggas broke the fridge. Yo, look, niggas broke the
oh
fridge.
Oh, my God.
Broke the oven. Yo, they went crazy, this shit, man. Word of my dad, man. Look at the bathroom door.
Oh, my God.
My room, the only room stand. I was not going for nothing.
Just tearing stuff
they
up for no
all
reason.
The furniture. Security, though. Security. Not nobody in D-Block besides Dave-O. Security. 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 I'm right here by my door. You feel what I'm saying? It was two. You know, I had two doors. The security broke down this. Security tried to punch the door, hit my door to shit. Boom. My shit's still standing, though. My desk, I got my monitors. All my shit's still Gucci. My closet, everything is Gucci. Where did my mother? Everything Gucci. Nigga, her car room is literally
the
on fire. Where did my mother?
Calling that Gucci.
Literally.
Wow.
All right, bet.
Yeah, we got to get out.
Was that the fire department?
The fire department, girl.
I'm about to go on stream. I want to get up right now, bud. Yo, they was bugging in this shit. That's crazy.
Okay.
Look at my room! Look at my fucking room, man. My precious room, bro. Everything, all the memories. Everything's over, bro. At least Syracuse stays strong. Yo, chat, at least Syracuse stays strong.
So I had done just a little commentary on Kai when he did the Streamer University because he had DDG and them there. And that young man, that DDG baby, he is just not a good person. Like, he is really, really, really an interesting person. But I had done some commentary because there were smaller streamers that were there at the Streamer University who were thinking they were actually like about to learn something. And it was just this, like antics and foolishness. And they were like, they wasted their time, you know, going. So yeah, they might have got more followers. Maybe depended on who was willing to do a stream with them, but they didn't learn like about the business or anything behind it. And then I heard that Kai and the AMP group or whatever did a live stream in Target, And that was interesting because, of course, there's the Target boycott. So Target is now just skipping over that and let's go to them and the young people, because the young people don't know. They ain't learned about none of this in school. So they just going with whatever. And again, capitalism, and they just in it and just get money and get things and tear up shit. Like, so now whoever this home belongs to, we playing with fire? Like, that's not what you do. That's dangerous, guys. But again, we don't have fully developed frontal lobes. So we're just doing what we're doing. And because it's a good idea, because it earns us money, because we get fame, because we have followers, because we have social interactions. So we just doing what we do. We're not thinking about the long-term impacts because our brains are not fully developed.
So I go to the neighbors, right? There were a group of kids that were like calling the neighbor Karen because she was very upset because she has little children in the house and they had fireworks going off at 1 o'clock in the morning. And it caused so much of a hassle. That's why the fire department and the police showed up, and it's now an active investigation. So I just want to play one more clip as it relates to this matter, because I need you to see how this is so impactful to this community, but also overall with these streamers. We need to have a real intentional conversation with our children who want to become streamers and YouTubers, that this is the type of activity and behavior that is monetized because of the shock value. And so there's a lot of implications when that happens too.
Yeah.
I apologize.
You don't apologize to me. This is keeping this neighborhood safe.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. This isn't an apology.
I'm sorry.
This is keeping this neighbor safe. This is criminal behavior.
I'm sorry.
I'm appalled. How dare you?
I'm so sorry.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
No, I have three elementary children who live in this neighborhood. No. How dare you? Criminal behavior, what you guys are doing in this neighborhood, and in this house specifically. And I have all of the footage.
We going out there.
All of it.
We going out there.
Excuse me?
We going out there.
You own what?
We going out there.
I know that you own it.
Exactly.
I know that you own it.
That means we can do what we want.
You cannot throw. You. It is criminal behavior to shoot fireworks inside a home. No, no, no.
And then if the damn house burned down and then it spreads to somebody else's house.
This is criminal behavior. I have three. No, I will not come down. You were shooting fireworks inside that home. They were shooting fireworks inside that home. This is criminal behavior. No, I am not going to apologize. I heard this from 1 o'clock in the morning.
I did not ask you to apologize.
It is not.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to you.
So I just want to sit with the amount of emergency services that had to show up at that time of hour, and how neighbors are hearing the antics, and based on what is being said and reported, that this is not the first time and seems like won't be the last time that there are antics that are happening at this particular house. And these content houses is what is the driving factor for some of these things. And so what I have been watching on Netflix is called Bad Influence. I'm on episode number 2, and it these content houses and how people get together to make content, to share different things in their universes, but how it could be a breeding ground for exploitation and a breeding ground for inappropriate behavior, activity, and things that should not be happening, particularly when there's young children in the mix. And Rakai, the boy whose room got blown up, he's 16. He is 16 years old. So He has about 2 million followers on Twitch, 1 million followers on Instagram. I just joined his Discord to see what's happening in his Discord. And parents need to know about these different chat features and these platforms. And so what I did do for Check the Cell Phone, I did record the first episode for the Check the Cell Phone podcast. And the first episode is on Discord. So you're able to check that out and to watch that. I did do a breakdown of what Discord is, some of the features and some of the dangerous things that parents and caregivers need to be aware of, because they need to know what different chat spaces children are in, because there are groups that are out there that are attacking children and preying on children still to this day. And I even posted articles of recent news where children are being exploited on these platforms.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm sitting here looking for this bad influence thing. Okay. Yeah, I'm curious about that. Yeah, that's a lie. That's a lie. We destroying property, and then he said we own it so we could do whatever we want with it, right? So even just not processing, there are other people that live in this neighborhood. It's the social awareness. That's what it is. It's the lack of social awareness of understanding that your actions impact other people's lives. So when you are doing things, you are not acting independently. You are impacting other people. So being mindful of that. But again, a 16-year-old does not have the capability to process all of that, even, you know, and depending on what their life looks like, they have never even been exposed possibly to thinking about other people and empathy. And, you know, that's the girl. And I used to live in a townhouse. So like, if one burns, we all going down. Like, why are you shooting fireworks in a goddamn house? What is wrong with you? For content. But see, that's why my episode today was called Capitalism or Community. We have to choose. Like, that is all about capitalism. That's all about materialism and consumerism and buying stuff and just having shit. Just having shit to just do things with. Like, just having things. And wanting more things and wanting access to more things and wanting to be famous and celebrity. And like, I am just so disgusted with all of it and just really trying to figure out, you know, how you mentioned with kids who are wanting to be streamers and YouTubers. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Let me be very clear. I think it is a very viable way to be able to earn an income. What I think just like when we were working with the young people and we were talking to them about using their platforms to affect positive change. Like, it is perfectly fine that you want to be on the internet. How are you using that platform? But the difficulty then comes in what goes viral and what doesn't. So the appetite that we have for the foolishness, right? That's why I stopped watching reality TV. Because I remember that my students were coming in, specifically my girls, and this was Basketball Wives and Love and Hip Hop and like all of that during that time. And they were coming into school thinking that that's how you're supposed to operate with other women. And I used to have to say to them, hey, you not busting nobody upside the head with no wine bottle and thinking you about to walk away. You're going to jail. You are being charged. You have committed assault. So that's not, I know that that's what they're doing over there on that TV. That's not real life. And I need you to understand that. And I remember like them just being so deeply entrenched in it. And I said to myself, I cannot watch this and also support my girls. Like I cannot. And I just stopped cold turkey. But like that's in that culture, it's gotten even more radical when you think about streaming, you know, 24-hour streams and like all of that. And again, I very much appreciate like how Kai has built a life for himself, but also at what cost and at what expense, you know, when you have a platform, and that's why I had talked about when he did the Streamer University, it could have been so impactful. It really could have made a difference, but it really didn't, because the advisement of how to show up responsibly with a platform is missing. So now you're misusing your platform, and now you're creating more chaos in the world to feed this system that, like, this is a lie. They tore that house up. I've always wondered, you know how, I don't know if you've ever seen this, when people talk about like houses that are in foreclosure and like all that kind of stuff, and the house be like tore up so bad by the time, I never understood that. I'm like, I don't understand why you would do that. Like, why would you tear up a house even if you couldn't pay the mortgage and it's being foreclosed on? Like, why was your thing to let me tear this house up? Like, I don't understand that. This is like another level of wow. That's wild. That is wild. That's really wild. Yeah, we got to do better. And I don't know if we're able to reverse those types of mindsets, but I think we are able to support the young people who are thinking about going into these careers and like get them before they go down a DDG path, or, you know, this Clover Boys, AAMP group, whatever, like before they go down that path of destruction and chaos for the sake of views and likes and social capital and money and, you know, all that. But then too, why are the brands supporting it? Because it's not about anything but the money. That's it. It's not about what's best for humanity. It's not about what's best for kids. It's not about being responsible. It's about they bringing in eyeballs, and those eyeballs come with dollars. So put the money behind them and let's boost that up. Girl, I'm glad I live on the side of a mountain in a tiny house.
Yeah. So if anything in this, I hope that people understand that there's a lot of things that are happening on the internet. And this is just a small fraction of the things that exist. I talked about Lovely Peaches. Lovely Peaches is still making content. She is really? still making content.
Still that type of outrageous ass content?
Still making content.
That's so, the one that was licking toilet seats, wasn't it?
Yeah, she did do that.
I can't even roll my eyes hard enough.
And if you ever check out Bad Influence on Netflix, one of the creators that the show was centered around is still making content and is still on social media. And the mom is still very much pushing her child to make content for the money. And so I just want people to understand that while being on social media can be very lucrative, the question is at what cost? And are you prepared to deal with the ramifications, particularly mental health ramifications, with the prolonged screen time and the way that, if we're going to talk about neuroscience and how the brain changes with prolonged screen time use, and how children can be more irritable, or children can show signs of being isolated and having social anxiety, or just having a hard time connecting with others. And there's a whole gamut of research that has been done across the world about this. And so it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I got it queued up. I might have to watch it. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take the dive down it. So I have to let you know. You said you're on episode 2?
Uh-huh.
And it looks like it's 3 episodes. So yeah, I might have to check that out. And, you know, I don't, the parent part of it, what's that little girl's name with the fan? Miss Shirley? They was talking about that mama that was having a girl performing, and that girl is what, like 4 or 5 years old or something, having her performing in clubs and doing meet and greets and photo ops and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's all about capitalism.
It's so sad to see children being exploited for likes and views, like having her whole body out in tight fitting outfits just for other adults to see it and witness it. Or even remember at one point, still happening, but on TikTok, they had different trends of scaring their child, pretending like there was someone that was going to go fight and to scare the child, thinking that they got to go and fight too. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's happening on these internet spaces that is beyond our control. And now that we have the infusion of AI, like I talked about yesterday in my power walk, they are taking public photos of children and videos of children, and they are making graphic content using artificial intelligence. So we are taking this a whole step further.
Of course.
Than what it already is.
They got to do that. They've got to pervert it. They've got to. That is just has to happen with anything that is created. It has to be perverted some type of way to hurt kids. Thank you, girl. Appreciate you. I ordered groceries. Alexa, thank you.
You're very, very,
also
very well.
Yes, indeed.
What?
That's being clipped. That's being clipped. Come on.
I'm about to pee on myself. I gotta go. What the hell? What? Girl, I can't do it. And talk about AI, I can't even do it. I don't even have nothing else to say. Let me tell these people where we can find each other so I can go pee and get from out here. The robots are taking over. I can't take it.
All right, go ahead, go.
Lord, y'all find me at KimberlynJackson.com, minding my black ass business on all platforms. The Frolicking Truth premieres every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. And immediately every other Saturday following The Frolicking Truth, we have The Healing Circle. So if you go to tinyurl.com/Black Women Healing Circle and you are a Black woman who is tired, brilliant, and ready to heal, looking for support, looking for a space to be able to name what you are carrying, please do come and holla at me and holla at us. I mentioned Minding My Black Ass Business also here on YouTube. So looking for subscribers. We are currently trying to get monetized. So watch time and all of those things. And Kimberlyn J on Instagram, Minding My Black Ass Business. All right, that's me. Where you at?
You can find me at BiancaGoolsby.com. On my website, you can see all of my different ventures and the links. I just migrated Make Snitching Great Again, and it's just going to be very simple. Snitchwithus.org. So you're going to have to check that out very, very soon, and we're going to cue commercial here.
This podcast is sponsored by Make Snitching Great Again. MSGA, baby. Enough is enough. And it's time for accountability, transparency, and integrity. It's time to snitch. Save 11% by using coupon code HEALTHATSHIT. Visit us online by visiting snitchwithus.org.
So MSGA, baby, we make a snitching great again, and you need to snitch with us. So snitchwithus.org there to learn how you're going to be in this fight, because we're going to need some truth tellers and some whistleblowers and some snitches, okay? So yes, indeed. That is the Duolingo cue. Make sure that you get your lessons in and follow us on Duolingo. We'll put the links in the chat. And until next time, peace.
Bye, y'all.